5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. I'm glad you're here this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. God is so faithful. He's doing a work in this church. He's doing a work in me. He's doing a work in all of us. So we want to grow in our relationship. We want to grow in our intimacy with the Lord. We want the Holy Spirit that lives inside of each and every believer. We want to be obedient to that Holy Spirit. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. Can I get a witness? We do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Can I get a witness? So when I refuse to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, which is God, okay? The Holy Spirit is God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of the heart of every single believer. And that Holy Spirit speaks to us and says, do this or don't do this. Stop doing this. And the Holy Spirit is not going to knock it out of your hands. Okay? But he says, listen to me, because it's for our good. It's for our good. Can I get a witness? So we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, but we want to follow the Holy Spirit. We don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. You know, like when the camping trip's over and you got to put the campfire out and you take a bucket of water and you throw it on that fire, the objective is to quench that fire. Remember, there's a Holy Spirit fire in me. And God says, be obedient to that Holy Spirit. Be obedient to it. Don't say no to it. Don't grieve it. Don't stomp and kick and say, I will not do it. And quench the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can I get a witness? This is a gift from God. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but I'm going to send the Comforter. You're going to get power. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit dwelling inside me. Amen. Can I get a witness? So Ephesians 5, 15 through 18, this is Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. So let's just jump in the middle of it where the Apostle Paul is giving some direction and encouragement to these believers. He is talking to believers. He's talking to Christian folk. That's where we're at. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Father God, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you indwell each and every one of us. Thank you, Father God, that we are obedient to the Holy Spirit. Your will be done in this service. Thank you for your anointing. And none of us are going to leave here the same way we came in, Lord. Let us receive the word. Let the word be given the way you need it to be given. Let our hearts be open to it. Let us receive it and walk in it. In the mighty, wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Everybody, church, Bill and said, amen. Give the Lord some praise. So Ephesians 5 and verse 15 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise. So when we see the word walk in scripture, often it's talking about walking, you know, taking steps, but it's also widely used or often used in scripture as a metaphor for life, daily life. So talking about my life, my daily living, look carefully then how you walk. Like when I'm walking, I'm going in a certain direction. And I have to make decisions on what direction I'm going to go. Each step can be a decision. That's a picture or a metaphor of us doing life. Okay, so the question is, what direction are we heading in? That's what's going on here. The Apostle Paul talking to Bible-believing church folk, Christian folk, and he says, look carefully, or be serious about your life, man. Be serious. What direction are you taking yourself in? Take this thing seriously, all right? Life moves fast. Can I get a witness? I mean, man, when I was young, a couple years back, when I was young, people would always say, man, life's fast. Life moves fast. And I it's not that I didn't believe them, but I was like, man, I ain't got nothing but time, dude. But then, man, give it a couple years and bam, here we are, Nancy. You know what I mean? And man, it's a fast moving thing. And God says, take this seriously. All right. Take this seriously. Okay. All right. Be sober, be vigilant, be on guard. Can I get away? He says, what direction am I heading in? He's not saying your life should be perfect, but he's saying, what are you doing with the time that I've given you? Because life is a gift. Amen. It's a precious gift. Not a single person in here had to exist, but God chose us to exist. Amen. We were formed together in our mother's womb, and God's ordained us to live on this earth. And he has no desire for us to waste time while we're here. Can I get a witness? But he says, look carefully then how you walk. Be on guard. Be wise. Take this thing seriously. What direction are you taking your life? Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but wise. Not as unwise, or not like an unbeliever, or not like the old person that you used to be. Does that make sense? Take this thing seriously. A huge price was paid for your salvation. It didn't cost you anything, but it cost God everything. You know what I'm talking about? He says, you take this thing seriously, man, because life is a gift. Your salvation is a gift. You didn't earn it. You cannot earn it. All right? It doesn't matter how cool you are. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are. None of that matters, okay? You accepted a precious gift of salvation. And we're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ was poured out so we could have eternal life. And he says, so don't live like you used to live. Don't live in that old way of living, okay? So 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, love this verse. This verse is so important to me in my life, and I want to share it with you, and I hope you love it too. Most of you already know it. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ this morning? There's two types of people in this world. You're either a follower of Christ, you're either in Christ, or you're not. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Walk like that new person, in other words. You're not that old person anymore. You are a new creation. So God says, you're not that person anymore. Don't live like you're that person. Amen. What direction is your life going in? Okay. What you have control over, that's what God's asking you about. Because we all have this walk, we're making constant decisions. We're making constant choices in our life. And God says, hey, Paulie, what direction are you going in here? Take this thing seriously. Okay. Don't live like you used to live before you knew me, because when we get saved, that supernatural thing happens where I get adopted into the family of the Most High God, and my sins are forgiven. But see, this flesh that I live in doesn't want to give up any ground. This flesh wants to keep doing what it used to do. And some things you're like, our Christians don't do that. And, you know, okay, that's fine. That's dandy. I don't have a problem with that anymore, but some stuff is really, really hard, man, you know? And we have those different things in our life, like those strong towers, these areas that God's like, no, I want to work on that with you. That's not productive to our relationship. That's not bearing any good fruit in your life, and I need you to take this thing seriously, okay? So when we get like that, man, remember what has been done for you and the price that was paid. Can I get a witness? But don't be unwise. Don't live like you used to live, but be wise. We're in slide 2. You already know that. So you, me, we have a choice. Here's the choice. Talking about my walk, talking about my life. I can be wise or I can be unwise. And God gives you the answer. He's like, be wise, man. Be wise. Well, sometimes I don't feel so wise. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I think I'm smarter than I really am. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? You know? Okay. But see, check this out. Psalm 19 in verse 7. Let's let King David weigh in on this situation, because God says, you're my kid and I love you. And I really want you to be wise, not just because I want you to be productive for the kingdom of God, but I want you to stay out of trouble. I want you to stop hurting yourself unnecessarily. Can I get a witness? He's not saying life's going to be easier, pain-free, or trouble-free, but you know, we can save ourselves from so much trouble and so much pain if we would just let the Lord, if we would just be obedient to the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? I'm talking about a lot of times when we think it's our conscience, it's the Holy Spirit when he's saying, you know what? Don't do that. Please don't do that. You are going to create a mess. And every action has an equal and opposite reaction, right? Okay. So if I act out on something I shouldn't do, it's not going to go away. It's going to cause trouble. Amen. Some way, shape, or form. So God says, let's curb that, man. Take this walk seriously. All right. So the law of the Lord is perfect, because he says, be wise, and this is going to help me be wise right here. Okay, this book is not just a book, okay? This book is sharper than any two-edged sword. This book is so convicting when you read it. This book is alive. Can you explain that? Not really. But I'm telling you, man, when you read this book, it's going to talk to you. It's going to show you what you need to work on, you know? So that's why sometimes we'll lay it to the side for a season, because we know we're getting rebellious, right? So we'll put it aside. I'm talking about myself, really. I don't know what you do, okay? But I'll put it to the side, or because I am very regimented in my scripture reading, I'll say, well, I need to stay away from this, this, and this, because I don't want to be convicted. And God hears that and God sees that. And he's like, you knucklehead, man. I love you. I love you. You choose to sin, you choose to hurt yourself. And not just yourself. You know, that we have these things where like, man, my sin, if we even call it that, affects nobody but me. I deserve this, whatever, yada, yada. It does not just affect you. It absolutely does not. It affects those that you love the most. Can I get a witness? The law of the Lord is perfect. It's talking about this book right here. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. So I need wisdom. God says, be wise, not unwise. Take the walk seriously. You've been given a very precious gift. Now don't waste it. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's the part that I like right there, making wise the simple. God's word can take a vacillating idiot. I've been waiting like 3 days, Dana, just to say that. It's like, vacillating, you know, don't sound too bad there, man. No, anywho, I know, that's a big one for me. Oh. God's word, his teachings are flawless. They are reliable. And they give true insight and understanding to anyone who is hungry. You know what I mean? So, you know, remember the Beatitudes? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because he'll fill you up, for they will be filled. You know, so he's encouraging us. Make the right choices, man. And if, you know, he's my shepherd. He says that over and over again. He's my shepherd. So this is what he's going to do. When I start to veer off, he's going to gently nudge me back. But when I start getting more rebellious, he might have to nudge me a little harder. But it's just because he loves me. It's all out of love, you know? And we get this weird picture because maybe your father wasn't around, or maybe your father, you know, whatever, you know, we all have different types of dads and moms in our life and all that. But no, God says, I am the perfect father. I am the perfect father. And everything I do out of love for you. Give the Lord some praise. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word. Man, I need to be wise, man. God's not going to ask me to do something and not give me the tools to do it. Amen. Don't forget, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. Can I get a witness? And the Holy Spirit says, spend time in that word. Spend time in my word. And there's so many distractions. And I get it, man. You know, my eyes ain't what they used to be, or I'm not a good reader. That's all valid. But I'm saying there's more than one way. This is the new title of the sermon, Paul. There's more than one way to skin a cat. There's more than what? Why is that? How did that come up? How did that come up originally, Brother Larry? Well, you know, you're skinning that cat the wrong way. You don't have to, you're working too hard skinning the old cat. There's more than, no, never mind. That's ridiculous. But look, your word, you're just a little thought there for you. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, we live in Hurricane Alley, man, you know, and it's still fresh in my mind all those times. Even Sally, the one we had a few years back, man, we lost our power. Not everybody lost power. We lost our power. Nancy, you lose your power out there on the water? Oh, my gosh. Well, now I feel kind of dumb because I lost my power. I lost my power, so my little picture just lost a lot of its punch. No, well, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. So, okay, it's dark, man. But if you have a lantern, right? Okay, so here's the thing. It's different than a flashlight. It's different than a beam. Me and Rachel Jean and my little girl were at the beach the other night, and I brought this headlamp thing that I wear that my mechanic buddy gave me. And, man, it is super powerful, dude. And when you turn it on, it like, lights up the whole area. You're like, I mean, it really lights up the area. That's not what he's talking about right here. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So God says, my word will light up your path. He's not going to give you the whole picture. He'll tell you the end is a good end, but I just need you to step out in obedience. And I'm going to give you the next step, and then the next step, and the next step. And it's a faith walk. It's a trust walk. You know, you're talking about a lamp. Okay. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, I can't see a mile down the way, but I can see the path right in front of me. And God says, take that next step. Like Abraham, leave everything you know and go to another place. Just go to where I show you. Just step out, man. And he stepped out. And then God kept leading him and leading him and leading him and leading him. So here we are, man. He says, I need you to be wise. I want you to be wise. And I've given you the tool right here. You got the Holy Spirit. You got the Word of God. Now hang out with me. Can I get a witness? Slide three. Slide three, if you're counting. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Take advantage of the time you have to do good. Take advantage of the time you have remaining to do good, to serve the Lord. Amen. Can I get a witness? None of us know how long we have. You know, that the Lord knows that. All right. But he says, you're here now. You're here now. That means you're still on active duty. We're always going to be on active duty, by the way. You're a Christian. So we're going to get transferred. We're going to get an advancement. But it's not like people talk about sitting on a cloud, strumming a harp, something ridiculous and boring like that. We're going to be in the service of the Most High God. We're going to be serving him. And he says, hey, you know what? You were faithful in the little things, so I'm going to let you be faithful in the big things. Give the Lord some praise, man. Thank you, Jesus. So make making the best use of the time. The Apostle Paul is saying, be wise. You need to make the best of your time. You need to be productive with the time that you have. It's not infinite. Not here. Not here. The clock is running out for every single one of us, man. You know, but if you're a Christian, if you've accepted that precious gift, we're going to springboard from here into a wonderful, amazing, fruitful, productive kingdom forever and ever and ever. And I'm looking forward to that, man. You know what I mean? That's the wonderful thing about being a Christian. God says you don't have to fear death. You don't have to go play out in the road either, you know, but you don't have to fear death. What a wonderful release to not have to worry about any of that. That's all in my God's hands. And my God is an awesome God. He knows what he's doing, man. Okay. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Psalm 90 and verse 12. Listen to what Moses said about this. You see this throughout scripture in different places. Psalm 90 and verse 12. So teach us to number our days. This is Moses, man. This guy right here had a pretty productive life. No. A lot went on those first 40 years and the next 40 years and then the next 40 years. Psalm 90 verse 12. So teach us to number our days. This is Moses talking to God. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Here's Moses, man, saying, Lord, do not let us forget. Don't let me forget. Like Nancy just said, don't let me forget that the time I have down here does not go on and on and on forever. That I've only got a certain amount of time, and teach me to number my days. It's not a morbid thing. It's Moses saying, God, let me be productive. Let me be productive for you with the time that you have given me here. That's a wonderful thing for us to pray, just like Moses. It's a wonderful thing for us to take seriously, you know? We get tired, we get worn out. And there's time to rest and all that stuff. Can I get a witness? But Moses is just simply saying, God, don't let me forget that the time I have down here is precious and it is a gift from you. And I want to use it to make my little area of the world or wherever you put me, wherever you advance me, to let you be known, to tell people about you, to show people about you, to further your kingdom. Amen. You've already heard this probably, but there's this old Latin phrase, it's memento mori, memento mori. I sound really Southern, memento mori, you know? Back in the old Bible day, the Romans would do this and different people would do it. They would write memento mori on receipts and different things. And What that means is, let me read it because I don't want to mess it up. Remember that you must die. Remember that you must die. So imagine this. You go into Dollar Generals. You go into Family Dollars, whatever your preference is. I don't really. That doesn't matter. You get the receipt from the little girl, and it says, remember, you must die. What? What? They would do that back then. And so what it wasn't a morbid thing. It wasn't meant to be a morbid thing, but it was telling you in your daily life, hey, remember, man, prioritize, focus on what is important because you're not here forever. So make the best of your time. You know, so that's a good thing where God says, hey, Caleb, hey, Josh, I want you to be wise. I want you to make the most of your time. I want you to change your area, your little sphere of influence for me. Give the Lord some praise. And then we have this right here. So making the best use of the time because the days are evil. So our time down here isn't infinite and the days are evil. Can I get a witness? So, you know, Satan ain't taking no days off. You know, remember in the book of Job at the very beginning, God the Father's talking to Satan. He's like, Satan, what you been up to, buddy? I don't think he called him buddy. Satan, what have you been doing? And Say's like, man, I've been walking around all over the world, man. I've been looking to get into trouble. That's what he does, man. 7 days a week, 24/7, he's looking to get into trouble. He's looking to ruin you or anything that he can. Look at 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Because the days are evil. So in reality, well, one of the ways we can look at this is God is saying, don't mess around with that stuff you used to mess around with. Don't let your mind go back in there. You don't have an infinite amount of time. So don't get bogged down with this stuff that you don't need to be messing with physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, sexually, whatever it might be. Can I get a witness? Okay. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil. And, you know, that people talk about that in church circles. We don't talk enough about the devil, or some people choose to believe that there is no devil. There's a devil. There's a Satan. He is hard at work. His days are numbered. Just like God says, keep in mind that your days are not infinite down here, so be busy. Satan knows very well, all too well, that his time is short, and he wants to take as many souls as he can with him. He hates your guts. He cannot stand you. You are made in the image of God. He is jealous of you, and he can't stand you, and he can't mess with God, okay? So Satan's a fallen angel. That's all he is. He's a fallen angel. He's not neck and neck with God the Father. He is a created being, and he does a lot of damage, but most of the damage he does is because we open the door for him, or someone else opens the door. He's extremely limited in what he can do. Talking about Job again, Satan's like, I've been going all around trying to, you know, seeing what I can do, cause a little trouble. That's what I do. That's my business. Business is good. And God says, well, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan's like, yeah, of course. But you're protecting him. See, Satan can't do everything he wants to do. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for his protection over us. But so often, we get ourselves in trouble, and then we blame it on Satan. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Right? James talks about that. Look at Psalms 90 and verse 12. I already read that. Because the days are evil. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil. He's real. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. I like cats, man. I like house cats. I like cats in general. I don't want to be mauled to death by a big tiger or something, but I have seen how it works. I've watched it plenty of times, man, on the picture show and on the television, you know. And man, them tigers, them lions, leopards, whatever them things, you know, they're like, man, you can't even see them, dude. They're sneaking around in that tall grass. And then all of a sudden it sticks his booty up in there and like, bam. So it gets that straggler and destroys it. And God says, okay, that's how I want you to look at this Satan thing, man. You need to be on guard. You need to be on guard. You need to be vigilant because you got a real enemy that's looking to exploit the weaknesses that you have allowed to stay in your life. So he says, be mindful, man. Be on guard, dude. Be wise. Don't be unwise because the days are evil, man. Time is short. Satan knows time is short. And we're going around working for the weekend. You know, just get me to Saturday. Get me to whatever. No. We're to serve the Most High God and make the most of each and every day. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Got a little Jesus statue there. Okay. Oh, okay. Ephesians 5, 17. We're still on slide 3. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. He just said, don't be unwise, but be wise. Make the most of your time. Don't be foolish. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we got this good book right here. and we're to immerse ourselves in it. You know, and because of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside me and in the hearts of every single believer, this book will begin to speak to me and show me things. Before I was washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, before I was filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, under the direction of my parents, I would read scripture. I would go to Sunday school and sit in church and stuff like that. But when I would open this book right here, it's not that I didn't understand Goliath bad, David good, you know, Samson is strong, Joseph. And it's not that I didn't get that stuff. But, you know, because I was not regenerated or washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, there was some stuff, man, that was just dull and boring, and I didn't like it. Can I get a witness? But when I got saved, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, each and every one of you done that. I'm Baptist. Doesn't matter. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're filled with the Holy Spirit if you're a Christian. So the Holy Spirit will begin to point things out to you and explain things to you, give you understanding like never before. Things that didn't make any sense to you. Or you can read the simplest passage that you know front and back, and it begins to speak to you on a deeper level, and then a deeper level. Yes, amen. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Some kids like rock, some heavy metal. Okay, what are we doing? Yeah. Therefore, do not be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Remember, we talked about the word of the Lord being true. The word of the Lord being true, and it makes wise the simple. So we got to get into that book. Amen. Because we need that wisdom. And it's right there for the taking. Amen. And it says, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay. So when I get into this book, I'm going to be able to understand what the Lord's will is. I'm going to be able to be obedient to the Lord's will. Well, that sounds kind of deep. Sounds kind of difficult. No, not really. We make it that way. But look, you know, when the Bible says do it, we do it. I'm being in the Lord's will. You know, when it says stop doing it, I stop doing it. Guess what? I'm walking in the Lord's will, man. I want to be obedient to God. When it says apply it to my life or believe it, I believe it. Walking in the Lord's will. Amen. Does that make sense to you guys? Sometimes we make things too difficult, and it's not your fault. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not your fault. It's not. So look, man, you know, we kind of look at this will of the Lord thing as like a buried treasure somewhere. And we're on a scavenger hunt, you know, and God's like, oh, Gabriel, he's getting close. He might just get it. It's not really like that, man. Remember, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Submit yourself to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How does that verse go? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Trust in him. Believe his word. You got to know it to believe it. You got to get into it. Trust in his word with all your heart. Don't deceive yourself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Submit to him. Don't just believe him. But submit to him. Do what he tells you to do. And then what's he going to do? Well, he's going to direct your path. He's going to get you to the place where he wants you to be. He says, you trust in me and you obey me. And that gives God the ability, because we're like holding back because we don't want to do it. But when we submit to him, he can place us in life where he wants us to be. God's will. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Don't be foolish. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, his divine power, this is a good verse, his divine power, not my human ability, not anything that I can do on my own, but I do have the Holy Spirit inside me, amen, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, his divine power, power from God, and you will receive power, his divine power has granted to us, Christians. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. That's a pretty verse right there. You know, We have access as Christians. We have access to every single thing we need for our physical life and our spiritual life through the Holy Spirit, through this, the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, through the knowledge of Him. The more I get to know God, how do I get to know God? Spending time with Him, spending time in His Word, praying, praying. Praying's so boring. It's a sacrifice at first, but man, you'll never regret it. You spend time in the Word. You spend time in prayer. Before you open this book, you say, God, speak to me. Speak to me. Talk to God. Worship God. I think that's a weird one for a lot of us. You know, back in the early days of me preaching, I was so dependent on God. And I still am. I still am. I mean, I really, really am. I take it so seriously. You might not think I do, but I do. But in those early days, I'd be up here late at night, like 5-6 nights a week, dude, up here, just crying out before the Lord, running up and down this little aisleway, just praying and praying in tongues and stuff like that. And just crying out before the Lord and worshiping God, because I knew I had to have Him. I knew it was not in me, man, to do any of this. And because I'm just not wired that way. I don't necessarily like to be, it doesn't matter. But I was so dependent. I'll go back to those early days in my mind, man, for me. I call Rachel up and I'm just like, please pray for me. Please. I feel like I've said every single thing I could possibly ever say about Jesus. He's like, you're 3 sermons into this thing, man. But there was that hunger. There was that dependency. And man, He met me each and every time. You know, God is so good. God is so faithful. But it's through those scary times, and that was scary for me. It's through those scary times that I really got to know God or grew in my relationship with God. It's like when I was courting Rachel Jean, I didn't, you know, I just thought she was really pretty and crazy. I still believe those things. But I'm sorry, but I just thought she was the prettiest thing around, you know, and she was sweet and everything, but I didn't know her. I didn't know her, but the more we hung out, the more I got to know her, you know, and now I know her better than anybody else. That's the truth. And she knows me better than anybody else because we've been through so much together. She doesn't like everything I do and vice versa and all that stuff, but she knows me better than anybody else because of relationship, because growing in relationship. Through the hard times, man, through the hard times where Satan says, this hard time is going to break this marriage in half. Your selfishness, Paul, is going to break this marriage in half. God steps in and says, through this hard time, I'm going to use this for something good. I'm going to bring them tighter together than ever before. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. James 1:5, half-brother of Jesus. Yeah, Jude is in the Bible. That's half-brother of Jesus. James is a half-brother of Jesus. They both got letters in the New Testament. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, man, then don't we need wisdom? That's what God is saying, man. You need wisdom. You need wisdom, but I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. You got everything you need right here. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously. He's not going to. When I was a little kid, man, this boy was eating an orange in 3rd grade, man, snack time. That orange looked really good to me. I don't know why. This kid was eating orange. I said, hey, can I get a little piece of that orange like little kids will do? And this kid rips open the orange and pulls out like one of them little tiny little juice egg things, like just little tiny things, like. Just little tiny little sliver of fruit, man. You know what I mean? Like a feast for an ant, but that's about it. His old nasty playground hands ripped that thing open. And he's like, here you go, Paul. He's like, man, that's all right, dude. That has nothing to do with the sermon. I don't know what. No, man. God says, I am generous. I'll give you more than enough. If you need wisdom, I'm going to unlock the doors for you, bro. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously. I forgot that kid's name, by the way. I don't even know what happened to that kid. If any of you, but I'm gonna look him up. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. I'm gonna send him a basket of oranges. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all. So just the preachers? No, to all. Generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him or given to her without reproach. You ever ask somebody, someone says, hey, anytime, I'm here for you, whatever. Or you ask somebody something and they snap at you. That's what it's talking about without reproach. God's saying, come talk to me anytime, man. You need wisdom? Come hang out with me. I'm not going to get mad at you. It's not too late. It's not too early. All right? To all without reproach, and it will be given to you. So the answer to whatever is in the word, let's go to slide 4. Yeah, slide 4. Is everybody all right? Okay, so we're doing okay, I guess. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. This is where the rubber meets the road right here, man. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. God says, don't be unwise, but be wise. Don't be foolish. You need to find out what God's will is, and you need to follow that, right? And then it says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So here we go again. Don't live like you used to live. Don't live in that old way of living, because you're not that person anymore. You're a new creation in Christ. You can be drunk on a lot of things other than wine. You can be drunk off power. You can be drunk off, you know, money, you know, sex, whatever. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, dude. You know, but Paul is using this picture of wine and drunkenness to illustrate what's going on. See, this letter's going to the Ephesian church. Now, the Ephesians, the way they're Christians now, the ones he's talking to, but he's saying, don't go back to the old way of living. That when you're walking by the old temples where you used to worship, don't think, hey, that was kind of fun and I wouldn't mind them. See, okay, so here's the deal, man. These Ephesians, man, these pagans, the way they would worship is they would have these drunken, cover your kids' ears, they would have these drunken orgies, man. That's what they would do. So they felt like to commune with their God, to be in their God's will, to follow their God's will, lowercase g God, okay? We're talking about a demon idol. To commune with their God, they would have to be schnickered. They would have to be drunk. They would have to turn themselves over to something else's control. And so we know that they were opening themselves up to demonic oppression, demonic, all kinds of nonsense, right? And they were doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And yeah, the booze was the doorway into that worship where they would do all this horrible, crazy stuff, this demon worship. So that was their culture. So Paul talking to these Ephesian Christians, he's like, be wise. Don't be foolish. Make the most of your time. Follow the Holy Spirit. You don't live like that anymore. And he's using that picture because everybody knew what he was talking about. And we can get it on this level. You know, we understand that. Raise your hands if you've ever been, no. Raise your hands if you're drunk right now. No, play. You're still welcome here. Man. Okay, so, you know, you get the picture. You're turning yourself over to the alcohol. You're letting something else have control over you. No matter how you slice it, I can handle my beer just fine. Yeah, add a few more to that, whatever you used to, and see what happens. You make stupid decisions. Your judgment gets messed up. Can I get a witness? Right? That's what he's talking about. Say, everybody will get this. Don't get drunk on the things of this world. Don't turn yourself over. Don't turn the control of your life over to the things of this world. Don't do that, right? But he says, instead of doing that, which is going to lead to nothing good, he says, do this. Amen. Amen. And that's true, man. I like that, dude. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Hey, you got Ephesians, you got the Holy Spirit. Now yield to that Holy Spirit. You follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The best translation is be being filled. Be being filled. Something we constantly do. You know, like sometimes when we pray, I'm like, who wants a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit? Who wants to be topped off? God wants us to do that on our daily lives, man. On this walk, he says, your walk, your life. Be wise. Don't be unwise. Don't be foolish. Follow the Holy Spirit. All right. Be being filled by the Holy Spirit. Don't act like you used to act. Be being filled by the Holy Spirit. Turn yourself over to the control of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside you. Right? That Holy Spirit that says, do that. Do that. No, don't do that. Say you're sorry. Tell me you're sorry. Right? Can I get a witness? Be being filled. 1 Peter 4 and verse 3. For the time that has passed suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. Pagans, Gentiles, Christian and unchristian. Christian and unchristian. There was a time when you were an unchristian or not a Christian. And there's things that you did because you didn't belong to the Jesus, because you didn't belong to Jesus. You did certain things. He says, well, don't do that anymore, right? If it's not productive for our relationship, don't do it. Don't think it, right? You know what I mean? So be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. And then Peter says this, for the time that has passed suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. Or that ship has already sailed. You don't go back to that anymore. You know, that chapter's finished in your life. Don't think about it as the good old days, because it really wasn't the good old days. Right? For the time that has passed suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, or what you used to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness. This is pretty hardcore, okay? But remember, this is Peter, but it goes right along with what Paul's saying to the Ephesians. You know, that old way of worship, no. That's debauchery. That's not good for us, right? You serve another now. Now yield to the Holy Spirit. So this is, it is what it is. But look, whatever it is in our life, it might not be nothing like that. You know, you might not have an issue with none of that stuff. But whatever it is that's not pleasing to God, it's like, stop it. Stop it. That time's over. Living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry, because that's not you anymore. Amen? Okay, tell the truth, shame the devil, right? So when you get drunk, you give up control. I'm reading my own note to you. Okay, Ephesians 5 and verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be unwise, but be wise. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I get in Scripture and I spend time in the Word, that's going to help me out tremendously. Because when you say, am I hearing the Holy Spirit right? Am I following something that's not the Holy Spirit? Because we don't want to do that. Well, how can I know? Well, you're going to have a peace. But when in doubt, the Holy Spirit will never, ever, 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 ever direct you to go anywhere or be. He will never lead you away from the Bible. He will never lead you away from the Bible. If somebody's talking to you on the side of the street and they're telling you something that does not line up with the Word of God, well, they're wrong. They haven't got some new revelation, not from the Holy Spirit, not from God. They might be listening to some demon or something like that. But if you can't back it up with this, then it's not right. It's not right. That's just how it is. This is the manual that God has given us. And I'm not saying there's not an awful lot of cool stuff out there, but what I am saying, because there's an awful lot of cool stuff out there, but what I'm saying, what you absolutely have to know is right here in this book. All right? Well, so many men have messed with it. Okay, look, man. Okay, you're right, man. People have tried to destroy that book and disprove that book. See, here's the deal. They're never going to be successful with that. Thank you, Jesus. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You start right there. That's Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. If he's holding this thing together, if he made this, and you got to admit, no matter how wise you are in the world's eyes, you got to admit that this is all just way too perfect, man. Way too perfect. God made all this, right? So if he's holding all this together, then he is, then he can do anything. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Excuse me. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. How do I know? Well, like I just said, the Holy Spirit will never lead me away from the Bible. He will never say, well, people just don't know about this. It's got to be backed up by this or it's false. Does that make sense? If he can hold the world together, and he does, he can make sure what he needs us to know, what he needs us to know, what we have to know will be in these pages right here. You know? Galatians 5 and verse 16, but I say, walk the Spirit. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit, turning myself over to the Spirit on a daily basis, saying, not my will, but your will be done, saying it, meaning it, following it through. If I mess up, I'm sorry, repent, get back, dust yourself off, get back at it. Galatians 5 and verse 16, but I say, walk in the Spirit, but walk by the Spirit. So here's that picture of life again. He's saying, do life with the Holy Spirit. Do your life with the Holy Spirit. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Because that's where the war is. You're a spirit that lives inside of a body, and this body is made of flesh, and this flesh wants to get in all kinds of trouble. Can I get a witness? But he says, you're a spirit, and you happen to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is God living inside you. Amen. And he says, do life with him, and you're not going to do all this stupid stuff you used to do. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Right. And we're getting close. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Paul's relationship to Timothy is just amazing and so encouraging. Timothy being his understudy, his protege, his favorite, clearly his favorite. 2 Timothy, God doesn't have favorites, but I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about Timothy. And I think Paul's favorite was Timothy. But it doesn't really matter. That's another story. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear. This is Paul talking to Tim right before Paul is assassinated, martyred for being a Christian. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I'm doing life with the Holy Spirit. These are some fruits of the Spirit living inside me. And he says, you know what? Oh, look at the Apostle Peter. Before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, man. Look at this guy. He said, I won't deny you. And he really believed that. He really meant that. I won't deny you. But God knows us better than we know ourselves. Like, yeah, Pete, you will. You will. Before the rooster crows, you are going to deny me three times. And what did he do? By his own power, by leaning on his own understanding, pulling from his own strength, he denied the Lord three times. But then we have somebody baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit who gets up and preaches on the day of Pentecost and many days after that in front of a crowd that was not open or thrilled to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he gets up, man, and he lets them have it. He doesn't hold back at all, man. There's so much boldness and bravery in this man because it's not him. It's him letting the Holy Spirit work through him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Look. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be timid about the gospel, but of power. This is what he's given us, but power and love and self-control. That power, every tool you need, every spiritual gift you need, God says, I want you to have that. But you got to want to have it. You got to say, God, I want every gift you have for me, whatever that is. I'm not afraid of it. I'm trusting in you. Your will be done. Give me the spiritual gifts you need. And boom, that's the power that he's talking about right here. There ain't a single person walking that's healed anybody else. Anytime someone's ever been healed of a disease or anything, that's the Holy Spirit. That's God working through them. But power, me too. But power and love, that's supernatural, man. Real love, to love my God like I'm supposed to love my God. The more I hang out with them, I'm going to grow in that relationship. I'm going to love him more and more and more. To love my God. To love my neighbor. To love my, you know, the Bible says they will know we are Christians by our love for one another. To love my God, my neighbor, my church family. Woo-hoo, that's a tough one sometimes, ain't it? And then, but what about, this is a Holy Spirit thing, to love my enemy. Are you kidding me? To love, I'm not talking about somebody that stole your parking place. You know, I'm talking about someone that has devastated your life. I'm talking about someone that has betrayed you, man. You know, I'm talking about that real deal Holyfield stuff. And Jesus says, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. How can I do that? You can't. But with the Holy Spirit, you can. You don't even want to do that, right? I don't want to do that. I want you to pay. I want you to feel the pain you caused me, homie. That's the ungenerate. That's me not yielding to the Holy Spirit, right? But see, God says, I want you to love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. And he shows us at the cross. He shows us, man. He gives us the example. Stephen gives us the example. It's only through the working of the Holy Spirit that you can even begin to start thinking like that. But of power and love and self-control. Because of the Holy Spirit, I don't have to give in to that mess I used to give into. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We need to be bearing some fruit, man. We need to be bearing some fruit. So we have the gifts that God has for us. And he might give Nancy this gift and Rachel this gift and a couple of gifts and give Dana this gift and Paul this gift, where it's going to work best and who he sees fit to give it. The Holy Spirit decides that, right? But there's also these things, man. As I grow in my relationship with the Lord, there should be some fruit that is evident in my life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, real love, like we just talked about. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. I see it on some of you guys, man. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. These are gifts. These are fruits of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we ain't got no peace. I mean, we're just stressed out. Well, Paul, have you read the newspaper? No, I don't even know where you can get a newspaper now. Everything's falling apart, man. Yeah, but my God is an awesome God. He been. The fruit, I wish, and I asked God 3 times. That's a joke. That's a Christian joke. It's a stupid joke. I asked God, I want to be able to sing. No. You'd be conceited if you're I'm not going to. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Oh, don't we need it? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What? Oh, yeah, it's not on there. It's not on there. My gosh, it's my fault. It's all me. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You can do it all you want to, man. Yeah, grow in it. You know, God is good. And I just want to invite all of us as Christian people to yield to the Holy Spirit, be led by the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? Listen to that still small voice that says, don't do that or do that. You know? No, time is short. He says, take this seriously. Father God, thank you for blessing this special group of folks, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you go before us and you watch over us and you make our crooked places straight, Father. Thank you that your will is going to be done in all of our lives. And we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.